Season 3 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by Triple R Nutrition. Triple R Nutrition specializes in very clean, very pure supplements that will help your body and at the same time disadvantaged young people from El Salvador form the tools to have a better life. Every product bought from Triple R Nutrition supports this vital ministry and your body and fitness goals. Go check them out.
That's right. Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. Tune in, people. Every episode is impactful. You become more burly just by listening. Let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, along with Coach Ricardo, and today, you guys, we might have to upgrade him from guest to friend of the show. We got Yancey Culp on to kick us off for our series of the DECA World Championships that just recently happened in Ocala, Florida. Thank you for joining us today, Yancey.
This is my second visit.
Yeah, second time on the show.
Appreciate you guys having me back on. It's a great time, you know, post-World Championships to chat about. Gosh, I think we had 2,200 start lines crossed. And I think we had 100% completion. You know, it's our one, I always say, we're for all levels, but it's that one time a year where we celebrate the DECA Cyborgs.
Yes, it's definitely a great time, those elite waves. Luckily, I was able to make it down for Sunday to see some of the strong waves. And it's crazy, those Cyborgs, how fast they can put it down. And I feel like one of the most electric races you have is the elite strong relay. They just fly through. It's insane to watch. And I got to referee that. And it's just so crazy to watch those guys just put on insane feats of strength during that race. It's so crazy.
Yeah, when you're looking at 8-9 minutes, it's amazing when you get on the age group side as well. They're only one step down from the elites, you know, and when you see two amazing athletes, female teams, co-ed teams or male teams, and you allow them to have a little bit of rest and you create that anaerobic roller coaster ride and they're able to just go 100% effort, a brief break, and then they're right back on. And the meticulous strategies, the different strategies they use, it kind of amazes some people how, you know, the people look more wrecked after teams than after the individual. You know, the individual is just kind of that steady, dull pain. But you really find yourself going next level, digging into the pain cave when you're on a team. And I heard it so many times. Like, people were injured and beat up. It's like the things you will do for your teammate. You know, it's just you'll find. Nick Racker and I were talking about, we raced DECA Fit last year together, and it's like you just find a new level. And teams are special. It's always team sports in general. DECA teams. It's a very special thing to watch as a spectator. And I think it's going to continue to grow, you know, and it also, you find people getting into the sport, you know, just the other 51 weeks of the year, you find people getting into the sport who might not be able to yet as an individual because they can partner with somebody and divide and conquer. So just from A to Z, teams is an extremely important piece of the DECA equation.
And I know back when we used to have our brick and mortar facility, when we were trying to get people, and when you had those people that are on the fence about it, we definitely use that relay. Just to come to a relay with me and then to kind of dip their toe into the water for that.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, what you just said there relates back to what Michael Caron said. And for our listeners, Michael Caron works with Yancey in Get Burly and has a tremendous story of resilience that he and his family overcome on a daily basis. But we ask Michael Caron, hey, what is the way that you motivate people when they're just at the end of their rope and they're not feeling it and they're feeling sorry for themselves? And he actually referred, he didn't use Ricardo's rule, but it's one of our rules, that helping others helps me more. And he said, well, the thing we do in Get Burly is we say, get your eyes on a teammate. Get your eyes off yourself and on a teammate. And that's just what you're saying there, that it is amazing the motivation that you find and the pain you will overcome for somebody else, which is something you encourage all the time.
Yeah. Take serving yourself so in turn you can provide selfless acts to serve your family, your team at work, or in this case, your teammate in the competition arena. You know, it all comes full circle. I always try to come up with little, as I do a lot of coaching with young people, and you want to come up with ideas and little things that kind of pull them to the edge of their seat, or even adults. And it's like, you know, be selfish with your time. And they're kind of like, what are you, selfish is a bad word. It's like, no, you need be selfish with your time. Train yourself. Don't disrespect your beautiful machine so you can then in turn selflessly serve others, which is a beautiful thing. And the team piece is huge. And yeah, just a shout out to Michael for everybody, all the listeners that know. Michael's the owner, founder, CEO of Get Burly. And he and I travel the country and working with large teams, 100 plus sometimes, teams, organizations, businesses, groups. Is anybody that wants to improve as a team. You know, when a team of two or more is way more powerful than you by yourself. That's always going to be the case from a mental and physical standpoint. We're so much more resilient. And, you know, just the name of your podcast, resiliency is... By ourselves, we are a shell of what we can be compared to when we get on a team. And it's challenging, but I've seen so many great friendships come during competition where in some cases, like a DECA, last minute, you know, hey, my teammate's injured. Would you like to partner with me? And that's a lifelong friendship. And you know, blood, sweat, and tears together is it kind of goes back to my time in the military. I've always said there's only two places I've ever been where there's no race. There's no culture. There's no color. It's just two humans, or in some cases, hundreds of humans, thousands of humans working together for the greater good. And you push all this craziness aside when you're in the locker room, Alton, you know, a locker room with a team working side by side on a football team or a basketball team or in the military. Those locker room environments, those behind the scenes environments, you know, those are friendships that can't be matched. It brings people together in a magical way. You would do anything for your brother or sister in those moments. So I always say, you know, team sports, greatest internship on planet Earth for our youth. Any moms and dads out there, get your kids involved in competition with friends. Team sports, nothing wrong with individual sports. You know, we're out there competing by yourself, but something to where you're, when you perform, it helps the team. When you cross your T's and dot your I's and you train hard, when the spotlight's not on you, there's no fans cheering for you. When you train hard, it's not because you're doing it for yourself, because you're somebody on your team's going to benefit. I think it's a non-debatable.
Yeah, and going back again to what Michael Cairns said when we had him on, is we asked him about individual sports, and he said that he doesn't feel as though there are any individual sports in WDECA. And the normal races, it can kind of be, it's an individual sport in the aspect of competing, but what he was saying is that you have the words and encouragement of your teammate in those moments of training with them. And it's so cool to see WDECA, how you start to see teams like Underdog Fitness and all these different gyms that are sending teams together, and you look and as they're competing on there, and you look over in the sidelines and you got groups of people holding signs for them, cheering them on, getting them to go faster. It's so great to see the culture that is being built with DECA in terms of that, with just how much the fans are getting engaged with it.
Yeah, 101 of our gym affiliates were there represented, and you know, 90%+ of them are wearing their, you know, you saw Underdog and Pure Impact and Farm Girl and Dun Dun, and I could go on and on and on. You just saw their sporting their gear, and that's a team.
Yeah, and taking team photos together, I mean, honor bound. I don't know if you saw their shout out to them. Their team photo was massive, you know, the amount of people that are coming together and, you know, maybe in many cases getting a house together, VRBO together, so they're going and celebrating afterwards as well.
Yeah, the Nick Kipp is such a great example. Interesting situation. It took Nick about a year to be able to affiliate because, you know, our rules are we like maintaining, in most cases, a 3-mile driving radius of protection. And We had a gym affiliate within 2.7 miles, and we were finally able to work together with that gym. Purdy Performance, amazing, amazing gym. Nick was able to get affiliated, and he's been such a great addition. You know, 4 years in, it's amazing all the ideas that were pitched to Joe about how this could work, to see the communities being built, and the training and training with purpose, and the amount of people. Every weekend, the number of people that cross their very first finish line, or maybe it's been a long time, you know, and I think how freaking cool was it that I could name names right now, people that had qualified for world championships They were just happy they were, you know, doing their 40-minute deck of strong 4 years ago. No thoughts of world championships. And now they're doing it in sub-20 because they're training with purpose. They have their sport, globally recognized sport for all levels. They're training and they've found, I'm a pretty damn good athlete when I commit to training. And again, not everybody's going to make world championships, but it's just that the finish line is special. And ultimately, you know, 98% of your athletic career, if that means DECA, whatever you're training for, there's no spotlight. There's no fans cheering for you. It's just you committing to that group exercise workout or that personal training or small group training session. And how cool that, you know, a lot of people are able to, you know, that the 2% is when the spotlight's on. It's game day. That's what I always tell young athletes, don't get too caught up in the 2%. You know, fall in love with the 98%. Committing to going to the gym. If I train this, in this case, these zone times are going to get faster. And it really puts the stamp on the time that you've invested when you see yourself getting better. And that's a beautiful thing. And as the research shows, that the chances of that person pushing fitness out of their life diminishes greatly, because it's very freaking powerful. When the power of the finish line is like, you know, Spartans, one of Joe's original sayings was, you'll know at the finish line. And that you do know if you've been there. It's like there's a draw that brings you back to it. So I love the fact that, you know, it's only one week of the year, but it's good to celebrate the cyborgs and from the age groupers and the elites. And because those are the ones that group that you saw competing at Worlds, those are the ones that a lot of people look up to at the gyms. They're all going to go back to DECA affiliate gyms, most of them, and they're looked up to. And they're, you know, it's almost like when you're in class, you're looking, oh, that person podiumed at World Championships. And they're in the same fitness class as me. I know that sounds a little corny or cheesy to some, but to gym communities, that's my athlete. I look up to him or her. They go to world championships, and that's so freaking cool, man. I love that piece of it. If it all ended today, my love tank would be filled, because we've been able to accomplish something that we just kind of hoped would happen, and it really has.
Yeah, it's insane what the cyborgs are able to do, and I feel like it really just kind of sets the standard and the tone, and it really just kind of adds a little bit of credibility to the sport just when you see the great feats that they're able to do. Like going back to DECA Fit in Fort Wayne, when we saw Dylan Scott just absolutely demolish the DECA Fit Ultra, like, didn't even know that was humanly possible to put down those kind of times. It's just so awesome to see what they're able to do. And I know it was a super busy time. You're running all over the place the whole weekend running the show. But what were some of your favorite moments from the weekend that you got to see?
Yeah, I love, I'll talk about a lot of them here. You brought up Dylan Scott. Dylan and Brooklyn showed that they are, you could chalk them up as two of the most well-rounded athletes. Brooklyn, very young, just getting started in her career. Those two won, and you know, there was a pretty stacked field at Fort Wayne for the DECAFIT Ultra, and they both took the victory. And to also be able to jump in the shorter races and be podium threats, no matter what they show up to. Love that. Jarrett Newby, I would argue, a lot of people don't know Jarrett, I would argue that Jarrett Newby is one of the greatest athletes to ever walk the planet. If you don't know Jarrett's history, he set the world record earlier this year for the 100-pound ruck half marathon in an hour and 47 minutes. I want you to do the math. That's about a 3:34 marathon, okay? 100 pounds. He dropped a 147. That's insane. What he does with a ruck on is out of this world. He was right off the barrier of qualifying for DECA. His DECA Fit ruck time is not too far off of qualifying for Worlds. He's like a 30. I think he dropped a low 34. Which is a damn good male DECA Fit time, and that's with a 30-pound ruck on. Jarrett Newby, Lauren Weeks, if Lauren had the, I believe she had the second fastest 5K time. I think the only one that got her was Dylan Scott in the DECA Fit. Watching Lauren run is out of this freaking world. She's just really and truly next level. I think she is, with the hybrid movement, all things, if you look at us, you look at HYROX, you look at some of the other things that are happening, and Lauren doing a lot of these things, I would argue she's one of the greatest athletes. I used Lauren, kind of like Ryan Kent was the ultimate tester for DECAFIT back in February, March of 2020 in the old abandoned Kmart. And I said, we want one of the best athletes on planet Earth to come in, because I always like kind of creating these, let's call them the Roger Bannister marks. And I wanted 30 minutes to be something that was very hard to do. And that played a role with how it was designed, because it's just kind of a marketing thing. And Ryan went like 29:58. I was like, okay, it's perfect. He's one of the best in the world. Well, we tested Lauren Weeks. Lauren, I wanted 10 minutes to be almost impossible, but doable. she dropped a 10.02 in test mode for the Deca Atlas, which is freaking insane. One, if that doesn't make sense to you right now, once you do Deca Atlas and you realize this woman went unbreakable 10.02 is insanity. You're talking about a girl that was a borderline cross, almost made the CrossFit Games. So she's a very high-level CrossFit athlete, but she has an aerobic engine that's insanity. Could probably drop a low 17 5K right now. The girls, she might even be able to, with a 4 week training, 4 to 6 week mesocycle, she could probably break 17 in the 5K. It's insane for her strength to weight ratio and everything combined. So Lauren's performance was out of this world. I mean, you had Morgan and Kat, two of the best, the former world champion last year, Morgan and Kat throwing down, but Lauren kind of ran away with that. It was very, very impressive with how strong that field was. I think the team comps, the fact that Kevin Gregory at 37 can race 8 or 9 times and still be able to function on Sunday is insane. The team combinations are so fun. I still say Deca Mile is the most fun. Deca Mile teams is still the most fun thing to watch. If you want to, for all the listeners here, if you want to go back and, you know, the OCR report did 15 live feeds, all three teams and the two elite heats. So 15 live feeds. If you just want to be thoroughly entertained, go back and watch the male, co-ed, and female Deca Mile teams events. Mind-blowing. The Rabbits, Michael Garcia and a couple of the Rabbits, you have to have, like, track speed to keep up with the athletes running the 160 repeats. The down-and-back runs are like, it looks like it's in fast-forward mode. So Deca Mile teams is so fun, but all the team events are a blast. You know, Zach and Amber from Pure Impact, amazing performances. My gosh, Tara and Brooklyn. The male teams for DecaFit was literally diving at the line finish. So many great Spanish. The Spaniards were freaking amazing for the first 2 days. Then a lot of them flew home. They weren't able to stay for strong. You saw so many I was like, every freaking race felt like it was close. For the most part, there were so many super close age group and elite races. Tara in Brooklyn was pretty much a dive at the line. Shout out to the Spartan staff for having so much great live footage. We had the drones rolling for some of those, you know, for all the elite finishes. We had drone coverage plus finish line coverage with the cameras. We had to go to instant replay on the cameras multiple times throughout the day. It would take all day for us to cover all the highlight performance. Those are just some of the performances that stand out to me. So anyway, what about you, man? What Alton and Ricardo, what was your, if you had to put on the truth serum here, what's your, you got 5 seconds to answer. What was your highlight, your number one highlight?
Well, for me, it's going to be watching my boys, Alton, or Arrow, come across the line, second place in his age group. And then a few minutes later, in the Deca Strong. And then a few minutes later, here comes Alton right behind him, also making the podium at third place. I mean, as a dad, it doesn't get any better than that. And of course, I got to race with my own father, who's 80 years old. So those memories are irreplaceable for me.
Love that. Yeah, good stuff, man.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely got to be watching my dad compete. He came in, had mono the week before the competition, and then it didn't end the way he wanted it to. I know he wanted to win that race, but just seeing the way he competed and pushed through all that was so inspirational. And on his last couple burpees, just like you could tell he had nothing left to give, just barely getting them up over his head. It was so awesome. And other than that, probably I got to referee for the Elite Strong Relay, and just seeing how fast they can go, it's just so mind-boggling. It just mm-hmm. you just gotta, as the referee, make sure you're not in the way, and then you gotta obviously keep them to the standard, but just make sure you're not in the way, because those guys are just zipping on through those 10 stations. It's insane.
It is. They're moving so fast. You know, to see like 120 somethings and 130 somethings pulled on the ergs and 12, 13, 14 seconds on the air bike. I was talking with Kevin. It's like there's 5 or 6 guys that have closed that gap. You know, he's not able to go by 15 seconds anymore. He can buy maybe 7 or 8. So that's been that probably was the game changer on some of those where he was sitting on the podium in second or third with on a team instead of first. That's just a tribute to all the amazing training that's going on.
Yeah, and they were able to. It was so insane in the elite male for strong. How he got the lead back in the off the bike, but then and on the burpees, I forget who the other guy, but they were going back and forth, and the announcer's like, "We got a close race here," and then someone just out of nowhere from the other side of the field just came and passed both those guys on the burpees. It was an insane Colin, finish for that race.
Colin Stieffer took the victory, in which was I just wasn't expecting that. So that was very, very impressive. Colin's really jumped on the scene this year. Doesn't matter if it's a strong mile or a fit. He has a great opportunity, great shot to be on top of the podium, no matter what he stands up. You know, he'll be good at Atlas also. He's such a great, well-rounded athlete. I love Joe's comments. You know, he's like, you can't help, but when you look at the DECA athletes across the board, they're just good-looking athletes, man. Like strong, lean, strong, just cyborgs. The type of training that it takes, you got to be well-balanced, which is...
You know, Yancey, being part of DECA is, I crow about it to people all the time. And you go there, and one of the things that's just amazing is the level of commitment of the staff. Unbelievable. Yourself, Nelson, Rob, and Mark. I mean, at points, you know, you could just tell you guys have poured yourselves out. You know, you guys are as exhausted or more than the athletes. And you know, obviously, you're the type of leader who builds into the people around you and inspire the people around you. Can you just talk about, for our listeners, how do you personally view yourself motivating, inspiring, that kind of loyalty around you with the team that's around you?
We do have a great team and, you know, great people. We're all failing forward, but great people like being in the presence of other great people, hardworking people, dedicated people. Once we have a staff that all believes that once you commit to something, you just need to be all in. It's like why that old famous saying of don't let your feet hit the floor in the morning until you're ready to dominate the day. That's a Brian Kane saying. He's a very well known mental conditioning coach for high level sports teams and athletes, and that's so freaking true, man. There's kind of three groups of people. There's the group that this is what I have in front of me today. This is my gig. It could be the last day on the job, but those people that are still going to give you everything they have, and they're going to be able to navigate through adversity in a way that it's so unique. I get a kick out of. I've literally learned how to get a kick out of people that will just some will just spend their day looking, who can I try to burn down to the ground today? You got those people. And it's the way I look at it. It's like, I think you and I were talking right before we started recording, is that the greatest organization in your life right now, maybe it's something that serves you. It's a transportation company, or it's this company, it's a restaurant, it's an entertainment company, it's an event company, it's a hospital that you go to, or a church, or whatever. There's all this stuff that fills our life, makes our life happen, services and things. It's, man, when you've been on teams, it's such a unique thing because you know, oh my God, it's just, there's so much craziness and so much failing forward. We're just literally failing forward, busting our ass several times a day. And you find a way to bring some joy or in services into people's lives. And it's just fun. It's so hard. It's such hard work, but it becomes fun and enjoyable to be a part of teams and to see some of the craziness that, you know, let me give you a good example. It's Thursday night and you find out that you had a massive shipping issue and some of your people are not going to get their shirts and medals. It is the most devastating. I mean, you'd be lying if you said otherwise. For 10 seconds, you are internally wrecked. It's like your heart is ripped out of your body and it crushes you. Where you a good team will say, we've got to persevere. We have full steam ahead. Some team members on other teams will just freak out and moan and complain and throw fits, and it's all a show. And it's like you're gonna have those things happen, and you just do your best to course correct for the next time, and then you're never gonna get past all the challenges. But it's fun. It's fun being on a team to deal with adversity and still pull off the product. So I'm glad you asked, man. I probably just didn't do the team justice there. Our team members are freaking amazing. And I don't want to go in and list all the names because it would be endless, but just you name some of them, but they are the resiliency behind the scenes. You know, we're our umbrella is Spartan, who lost $100 million during COVID, and it's brutal. It's a bloody freaking miracle our lights are on. Bloody miracle we were able to keep the lights on. But to be able to have the event still and to go off pretty well, and still being able to make people happy and still searching for that light at the end of the tunnel and moving forward. That's the thing, man. For anybody listening, if you really want to level up, start looking at each day like I have today, maximize today. Really try to pinch the life out of today. And if you put your head on the pillow at night and you're not excited about how you navigated that day's journey and from a service-oriented mindset, like serve the day with your mind and body. If that's not how, if you're not able to check that box at the end of the night, you need to readjust in the morning. You need, when you wake up, you need to say, wait a second, I'm not going to get out of bed until I'm ready to dominate the day. And it's so fun working with other people that see it that way. Working for Spartan builds resiliency. So Joe's very transparent and honest. It's like, if I was back in college right now in business school, and I presented an idea, let's say for my thesis, that said, hey, we're gonna build a brand and put on events on the sides of mountains and build obstacles and all the crazies we do. Most business professors say, you're effing crazy. Are you crazy? The event space is hard. It is the hardest work you will ever do. Even, you know, you guys putting on the gym events and the big events at the convention center, it is hard. It's a team working really hard, and then the lights turn on, and a lot of people enjoy it, and they go home. But like I said also before we joined this call, is like, you got to love it, man. Show of hands if I'm being forced to, who's being forced to do the type of work, do this job? No, we elected to do this job and enjoy it. It is the most enjoyable thing to see people crossing those finish lines. I feel like the luckiest guy on planet Earth when I get to see people cross those finish lines and just sprawled out and the sweaty hugs and the fact that my right and left shoulder reeks at the end of the night because it's been 500 sweaty hugs on my right shoulder and my left shoulder. And you get really good at creating a little separation so you don't get soaked in sweat. It is the greatest day. I live for those days. You go through like depression. There's about a week of depression post-event, because it's so hard and you dive into it. But then, you know, Ocala is coming back up in February. By a week out from February, I'll be so amped up and excited to do it all over again, because it is beautiful. The power of the finish line, the power of people testing their fitness, the power of people training for something. It is truly the world's greatest drug, fitness, movement, and exercise. We've seen it change and save lives, and that's why we love what we do so much. And it's an industry, to be honest, I think 95% of the world has no business being in the industry that we're in. Because you got to passionately love serving people in the event space. And that's what we do. Everybody on our team loves it. We were on a call this morning, and I said, you guys be careful, because I don't want to lose any of you. You are all so wildly important to what we do that we can't lose you. You are all so important to hundreds of thousands of people that are enjoying what we're providing. So be careful and, you know, celebrate the holiday season with your family. We need you back in January.
And one of the things that has always struck me as just different from most businesses that you work with, as we started this journey, as my family started the journey, is getting involved with DECA events and Spartan races and that stuff. It's just how different the people are that work for Spartan and DECA. Just how you guys will be like at DECA Fit in Fort Wayne. We were up till, we left a little bit early, but we were there late night, and you guys were there till, I don't even know, like 2 or 3 in the morning. And then you're there all day serving and you're on fire, and it's crazy. You can't even tell that you guys were up all night setting up for the event. So how do you go about, from a leadership standpoint, of finding those people, that these great people that make DECA what it is?
I mean, people leave pretty quickly. God, it's not perfect, man. But it attracts like-minded people. Nobody gets into the fitness of the or this type of event space to make millions of dollars as an employee, but it's rewarding. And it does, it attracts, you know, I'll take Robin, for example. We pulled Robin in, and it was attractive to her, a great addition to our team. You know, to you, Nelson, and Nelson's invaluable. There's no words that I can explain how valuable he is to us. Our team over in Europe is starting to duplicate some of the stuff we're doing. The type of gyms that, you know, we have a group of gyms, you know, like I said, we saw 101 of them at World Champs. They are the epitome of all the ideas that we presented to, you know, that first conversation that I had with Joe, to be able to, you know, be almost 5 years in and just to have these groups of gyms that have gone above and beyond what I could even have thought about this becoming is just pure magic. But it's, you know, a good example is Ricardo. You know, we attracted Ricardo. And now Ricardo's on our team. It's, you know, there's just certain people that could never be on the team because you have to have that special love for serving people with fitness. And like I say all the time, and I kind of compare it to teachers and nurses, the ultimate service industry. It's not made for most people. Fitness coaching, you know, and the very successful gyms, they passionately love what we're doing, what we're providing, and what it brings. And that's why you see those gyms doing very, very well. You know, there's some of our gyms that are kind of, they're just setting the standard for others to follow. And we absolutely love that.
You know, Yancey, I really appreciate what you have to say about attracting quality people. And I want to go back and explore a theme you mentioned earlier. I've talked to you about this off camera. We talked about it in a meeting last week. And I truly believe this. And I can tell anytime I try to give you a compliment on your leadership, you always bristle, right? So I mainly talk about you, brag about you to other people, because you're just the guy that's not going to, you know, absorb or be arrogant about any praise you're giving. You know, I tell people frequently the atmosphere they love at DECA goes back to Yancey and the leadership tone that he sets. You focus on the 80 percenters and, you know, the ones who've never set foot on the starting line or been on a team, and you stay true to that vision. And another thing that you do remarkably well, which I think contributes to the great culture of DECA, is you just refuse to speak badly of anyone. It's incredible. I mean, if someone, of course, we all want organizations where people can voice a complaint and be heard. But, you know, there's people that will just outright go on the attack. And someone can walk up to you 30 seconds after they've seen someone chew you out. And even in that case, you just refuse to complain about that person. You keep the focus. You always speak well of people, even in the midst of very difficult, very stressful situations where anyone could look at it and go, I'd forgive him if he was complaining right now. Anybody would understand if you were honked off, and you just refuse to go into that. So, you know, I think part of resilience is that mental fortitude. And I would just love for you to share with our listeners how it is you stay in a positive place, even like you said, when, you know, there's some disaster, the trailers don't show up till midnight, or, you know, the medals aren't going to be there, or someone is coming and very unfairly attacking you. What is it that you would give to our listeners to be able to handle that? What is the secret sauce for Yancey Culp?
Well, I think if we really want to try to narrow it down quickly to serve the listeners, is my recommendation to everybody out there that might want to explore new avenues. Mentors and accountability partners that hold you accountable are the most important. It's the most important part of my life, and surrounding myself with like-minded people. But here's the deal. The only way I am able to do that, the only way I'm able to keep that together, the only way that I'm able to stay consistent and be able to flush the green in the moment when somebody is trying to burn you down on social media in the most hateful ways, and you see it, it's like, you know, like Elon Musk said, it's like you're gonna be hated. Stay out of the comments. Don't pay too close attention to it. No matter how much greatness you do, or even the days when you're failing forward and you're falling flat on your face, people are going to hate on you. And the only way you were able to find forgiveness and even love, and it's gonna sound crazy, but willingness to want to serve those people in some cases more than the people that are right behind you on your side, patting you on the back, is the ultimate accountability partner. Is, you know, there was a really cool dude that came out and hung out with us for 30 some odd years, and he freaking said, "Listen, guys, this is how you can do it. I'm gonna show you the way." And when that is your accountability partner, that's like, you know how it is, guys. There's that accountability partner is always here. He's always freaking there. You know, you could go have a counseling session with your actual accountability partner, and they could coach you up. As a man, I think you need to look at doing it this way or that way. I like to, you know, and I'm working with young people, I like to reference, you know, the really cool dude, the ultimate cool dude that hung out with us for 30 some odd years, and just said, "Guys, you can." Those are the people that need us the most. Like that person that's just really caught up in like that's how they're spending their day. Like that's how they spend their day. It's like they need your love and support more than the people that are aligned. They're already aligned with you. And so, yeah, it's like I get you know, I have lots of people that come to me and like, Yancey, are you keeping up with all the crazy haters? And I'm like, no, not really. They'll keep me informed. But it's like, I'm never going to let that steal my joy, because there's too much just awesomeness throughout the day. It's doing life with people, you know, and you kind of fall in love with having to put out fires, you know. And we had a situation in the world where two grown men were ready to fight. They were ready to fight. And just people that, you know, and I get it. You get caught in the moment where, you know, the presentation they're giving you is, this is life, or it's almost like life or death, this situation that happened at the finish line, or this rep, or with the issue I'm having with timing. And it's like, you know, in those moments, it's like when we talk about being able to quickly hit the pause button and flush the green, it's like, to be a good leader, I have to put my mindset in the position where I need to serve that person. Where, because we allow ourselves 5 minutes to communicate with that person, we're addressing the issue, and we're also calming them down and helping. In the grand scheme of things, it's got to be bigger than the event. It's got to be bigger. It's like, I want us to be friends. I want us to have a relationship after this because of the way this was handled. And I want us to serve each other. I want us to be hugging it out at the end. As it might have been a situation where we were 100% responsible and screwed up. But I still want us to work through it. As here's the deal, man. We all have a very short time here on planet Earth, and we get a little too caught up in things that actually aren't that serious. But in those moments, I have to respect the fact that it is a very serious moment for them, and life is a roller coaster ride. Of every day is special to every person, and this is a special moment for them. And I want to serve them. Now, I mean, I always say, unless you're freaking physically beating down my door to come harm my family, it's going to be very hard for me to find a reason to be extremely upset with you and want to come at you. That there's very few reasons and things that will happen that will ever have me coming at you. And ultimately, and again, we can't ever match the model and the techniques that the really cool freaking dude showed us. And, you know, JC was like, listen, guys, let me freaking just roll around the world and show you how to do this stuff. And it's like, yeah, you were freaking us out how you were literally serving the ones that's like, why would you serve that person? The model's there, so we got to try to, let's do our best to model that. We're gonna pale in comparison to the glamorous modeling that he did, but we got to at least give it a try. So yeah, you know, people are like, so it's nothing special. Just trying to, you know, we all want people in our life that we want to make proud, you know, moms and dads and family members, but that's the ultimate person that, you know, at the end of the day, when you're pit the pedal at night, and if you can find yourself, so if you're a non-believer, if you'll just start with the fact that, okay, it's pretty much a non-debatable that there was this actual physical person that was like, holy shit, look at this cool stuff that they're doing, that this guy's doing. If you can say, well, at least let me, maybe right now that's just a physical person, this really nice dude. You're not maybe a true believer yet, but that you can at least believe that was a really nice dude. It's like, gosh, what a cool guy. Let me at least try to be more like that cool guy. And what starts to happen is you really find yourself like how powerful it was, because you'll find yourself getting through situations almost in like magical fashion. Like your head hits the pillow at night and it's like, okay, you have a conversation and it's like, how'd I do? And they're like, you kind of get the fist bump while you're laying in bed, like fist bump to you. You're not perfect, but that was a pretty damn good job. So that's the only way. I don't think, you know, some people probably can, but I couldn't do it if that wasn't my guardrails. There's no way.
Flynn, one of the books I'm reading right now, they talk about how hurt people try to hurt others, and kind of the approach that you're talking about there really models what they talk about in the book of how you don't want to fight fire with fire, right? You kind of want to, you got to realize that that person is hurting and kind of meet them where they're at, like you were talking about through that. And thank you again for coming on today, Yancey, and congratulations on another successful DECA season.
Season 3 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by Triple R Nutrition. Triple R Nutrition specializes in very clean, very pure supplements that will help your body and at the same time disadvantaged young people from El Salvador form the tools to have a better life. Every product bought from Triple R Nutrition supports this vital ministry and your body and fitness goals. Go check them out.